Welcome to Totally Acoustic, a home for unamplified music. Not plugged in my tunnel now, that's what it's totally about and what it's called.
Ooh,
Totally Acoustic.
There you go. You didn't feel like clapping that, did you? So I'm going to start off with a song. We're just rehearsing now our next blockbuster show. And Steve, who I do the shows with, isn't here tonight. So I'm going to do this one song in the whole show that I do all by myself. It's my favourite, because I do it all by myself, without him parasitically leeching off my and it's I'm keeping that a bit in the podcast, and it's sung by there's a character called Tiddy the Tin Man, who is a robot. He sings this song because obviously as a robot nobody really cares what he thinks about anything, and it's called Only a Robot. I'm only a robot. My job is to serve. No need to think about my feelings. All I'm here to do is work. Because I'm only a robot, and I can keep working all day. No need to pay me or to train me. No need for any kind of praise. You go off and have your fun. Just leave me here to carry on. Don't take me with you when you go out. I'm only a robot. I don't count. I'm only a robot. Just a machine. These emotions, they're just programs. They're not real. I don't feel things like you do, so don't treat me like I can. Robots don't need thanks. Steve does a kazoo solo. I do need him. Only a robot. Just a machine. Only a robot. That's me. That's also it's the only song in the entire show with no jokes in it, because it's my moment. That's when I win the Academy Award for best song about a robot. Anyway, this is another true story, kind of. This is about having a boss who was once in an indie band. And it's called My Boss Was in an Indie Band Once. My boss is in an indie band once. He's still got his paisley shirt. He reckons that the ethics of punk can be applied to the world of work. My boss is in an indie band once. He never sold his bass. In the attic with a box of his singles and the master tapes, cause my boss was in an indie band and once. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. My boss is in an indie band once. He's still kicking out the jams. He says, here are three bullet points, go and form a business plan. My boss is in an indie band once. When he started working here, it was meant to be a temporary gig while he reassessed his rock career. My boss was in an indie band once. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Then he got a message on his MySpace from a girl in Kyoto. She's a lifelong fan and her record label wanted to know. As he's still got the master tapes, they want to do a re-release. Turns out he's got a cult following out there in the Far East. He was pleased, to say the least. My boss is in a brand new band, now he's got a brand new band. They're 20 years younger than he is and they're on tour in Japan. My boss is in an indie band now, what, he's got time off? They've asked if I wouldn't mind acting up to do his job. Now I'm the one who was in an indie band I played the bullet gate. I was, yes, I was Nigel Blackwell, Mark on a biscuit knows my name. I was, yes, I was. I've met that Steve Lamack. I was, yes, I was. And one day I'll be back. I was in an indie band once. So I'm going to do our last song. What would you like to hear for the last song? Oh yes, that man there.
My Fucking Hippie.
My Fucking Hippie. Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
My son's favourite song.
Sorry. Son's 10. What a worry.
You want to teach your child to swearing by the age of 11?
Well, actually, you are.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good, swear. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Yeah, I probably remember this. This is a very, very old song I wrote about a fucking hippie. Fucking hippie. I can't believe the things that you come out with. Did you leave your brains in a cheese and pickle sandwich? What makes you think that you can speak for us when everything you say is so boring and obvious? If you're so telepathic, why don't you leave? You're breathing the air I intended to breathe, you fucking hippie. With your paranoid neuroses, you say that you're concerned about the world and its resources. Let's help get rid of some waste. We'll dump you in the ocean in a locked up metal case. If you can see things so very, very clearly, why are you so unutterably dreary, you hippie? With your whimsical delusion that if you grow your hair you can start the revolution, the establishment's a quake. They know as well as I do that you're a fucking fake. You believe in love and peace, but you hate your friends and you insist on eating meat, you fucking hippie. You cannot change society by banging on about drugs and then going to a party. If you want to cause a change, I think it might be handy if you held onto your brains. It's no longer a joke. The world goes down in poverty as you go up in smoke, you fucking hippie. You hypocrite, you fucking hippie. You are a hypocrite, you fucking hippie. And you now work in management, you fucking hippie. Thank you. Yeah. I used to do that song about 15 years ago when I played Krusty Geeks, and I guarantee every time I ever played that song, the biggest fucking hippie of them all would come up to me and say, yeah, I know somebody. So please welcome Superman Revenge Squad.
Hello. This is called I'm Ever So Slightly Spontaneous When It Comes to a Crisis. World to see me in spheres. I want complete strangers buying me beers because I can't articulate the sense of fear they feel. They look in my eyes and it brings out maternal instincts in them. When I pick up a wounded dog, they want to make it a friend because their propensity to happiness might just depend on the relationship that's formed with her. Dog and them, she's like, get your wounded body to my wounded body with the power back stories and simple broken parable later, she said. Get your wounded body to my wounded body. We can power back stories and sip with a compatible laser. That's what she said. And she put something on the stereo. Might be an early REM, but didn't really know at the time. And I didn't want to ask because she'd been crying. It was awful. She said, do you want to share a bottle of wine? And although I don't like wine, I said, yeah, that'd be fine. And guess that's just the type of guy I am. I'm ever so slightly spontaneous when it comes to a crisis. I want my whole life to be like a film, or at least like a semi-successful sitcom. I want people to laugh when I laugh and then cry when I cry. When one of the characters is gone, why is the hype going to be something similar again? Everyone said it was never going to be the same, and they just say that it's a bit of a shame that they can't act as anything else. She said, get your wounded body onto my wounded body with the power of backstories and sit for a broken power later, she said. Get your wounded body onto my wounded body with the power of backstories and sit for a broken power later, that's what she said. And then she started crying, like properly crying, right in front of me. She put the telly on, some awful late night telly and a futile bit to distract me away from her life into theirs, but I just smiled and I said how nice this is. Guess that's just the type of guy I am. I'm ever so slightly spontaneous when it comes to a crisis. Right, this is one of the newish ones. I was trying to write some more upbeat songs slightly, and I also thought I'd stop writing songs that reference stuff that most people haven't heard of. But again I then wrote this song that has a second verse that goes on about an album by Anthrax from 1991, I think, called Persistence in Time, but most people haven't heard of at all.
I've seen Anthrax live.
Very good.
Yeah, very good. We're Public Enemy.
I would have liked to have been there. But this is about persistence in time, which is quite back to the era. And I had to Google myself just to prove that I exist. I've done it 50 times a day, so it's pretty hard to resist. There might be something written somewhere saying I'm an adequate lyricist or something better. And I'm so indie, I could die. I like to underachieve and call it DIY, but I still listen to the radio and I still wonder why they don't want to play me. Maybe I found myself regressing, listening to Anthrax, reading Stephen King in a way I used to do when I was 13 years old. I found myself picking books up off the shelf and thinking I'm probably never gonna see one of those. Just being written by myself in a printed jacket or in a shop, I'm probably never gonna see a lot. The commuters reading on the tube, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're no good. And Persistence in Time by Anthrax means more to me than something like Blood on the Tracks. My greatest fear as a kid, one which I always kept here, was to come from school and find my mum and dad. The words would mean more to me than anything Bob Dylan ever said. I could lie and say something else instead, but it would be a lie. Self-repressing, listening to Anthrax, reading Stephen King the way I used to do when I was 13 years old. Maybe I found myself picking books up off the shelf and thinking I'm probably never gonna see one of these. It's been written by myself on a printed jacket or in a shop. I'm probably never gonna see a lot of commuters reading on the tube, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're no good. And I'm probably never gonna be on Desert Island Discs, but it doesn't necessarily mean that all of this is a waste of time. Cheers. This is funny you mentioned Public Enemy. This is a brand new one, so I might forget all the words, and I only finished them last night. But it's called Flavor Flav, which is kind of about imagining. It's a sort of love song that refers to Public Enemy without Flavor Flav. So I read that Chuck D didn't want to start the band without Flavor Flav, although Rick Rubin wanted to sign him on his own. I thought it was quite a romantic gesture that he didn't want to. But. Records will still sell after all. Chuck D is the main man. We'll get through this somehow, but I don't think I'd want to fight the power without you. And if you leave me, it'd be like R.E.M. in 1993. The future's okay, but the best album's behind me. And the band's gonna get bigger. We'll end up headlining Glastonbury. There'd be people in the audience just wanting to hear songs written before 1993. We could play somatic for the people of thousand times, or we could concentrate on records that aren't so great, just get by. We could play automatic for the people of thousand times, or we could concentrate on records that aren't so great, just get by. I used to have records I used to think of as essential. I don't think records can ever really be essential. Oh, let's put them on eBay, get anything for them, because hardly ever play when running out of room to store them. And my head is a bed with 1,000 records or sleep, and I mean, I haven't played it for years, but I can still hear Morrissey nearly weeping about the old house, the cold house, the stories that he told us that taught us to rejoice in the fact that people might ignore us. And what have I got to show for the last 10 years or so? Just a box of old records, a box of old books and us.
People often come up to me and say, Mark, where do you find the amazing people? They never say this, really. This isn't true. Where do you find the amazing people that you have playing at Tony Acoustic? I say, oh, that's a very good question. The answer is in pubs. And especially in this case, because I was at Edinburgh last year, and we were sat out at the back of a pub waiting for some friends to come out of it. And this guy was on stage playing a set, and it was really good, and it was great. And like normally when you're in, there's all sorts of crap going on that you sort of patiently ignore. And it was pretty much the only time machine in Edinburgh when I saw something that I enjoyed so much, I actually said, please can I have a flyer from you, when he came out giving flyers over. And lo, that man is here this evening. For lo, that man who was actually really rather good outside the back of a pub in Edinburgh is now upstairs in a pub in London. How far you have come. So please, with you, welcome the rather marvellous Mr. Matt Tiller.
Thank you very much for that. That was very sweet. So I was, as you can imagine, pretty fucking rock and roll when I was a kid. Song about that. I was so cool when I saw my older sister bring work home from school. I said, what's that, Mum? I want some. She said, it's homework, son. I said, yeah, I want some of that good stuff. Give me some of that good stuff, Mama. Yeah, that's right, I asked for homework. Before you are forced to do homework, to my eyeballs at the age of 4, yeah, that's age for homework. I was hardcore. I was the first in infants to learn how to tie ties, yeah. I had a badge and everything said tie helpers when it came to help tying ties. I was the go-to guy, but when I didn't impress Terry and Underwood, it came as a surprise. I sometimes wish she had a really over-tightened knot, so when she asked me for help I could say, I cannot, you'll have to see Miss Jeffries to help you with your knot. But she'll never make you happy. Like, hang on, I just found a big bit of snot up my nose. Maybe that made me less attractive, but even swatty kids can be easily distracted. Was a rebel in a different way, cause I chose homework over play. Who needs toy guns and plasticine when you've got the latest New Scientist magazine? we got on like a house on fire. That's the last time I go out with an arsonist. This next song is... I grew up in a hotel in the 80s, and when my mum was really angry with me, she'd shout, "Matthew, you're treating this place like a house." But that wasn't fair, because I always stole the towels and threw the TVs out the window. And they would discreetly bill me for all the adult pay-per-view movies I watched. I grew up in a hotel in Plymouth, in Devon. It's a shithole by the sea called the Drake, and you stay with us, we'll be heaven, because we're one star rated by the AA and the RAC. If you like prawn cocktails, then you'll love it here. Blue Nun, Double Diamond and Skull Lager beer. It's the 80s, so we still consider orange juice a starter. You can have the set menu or something fancy off the a la carte, like gammon Hawaiian style. You know, that's served with a pineapple ring, because we're classy. We hope you have a lovely time at the Drake Hotel, but then there's an extra charge if you don't check out by 10. There's parking at the rear, but it's at your own risk. Don't leave your valuables on display, is what I'm saying. There's a plastic basket for your scampi and chips. The vegetable comes in a metal dish, but we call it un bouquetier. Black Forest Gatto for dessert, well, we've got defrosting, cause it's still in the freezer downstairs. A friendly welcome's guaranteed by Doug and Viv Tiller. That's my mum and dad. My dad used to be a commando in the army, yeah. But during your stay, it's unlikely that he'll kill you. But he could, he has been trained, so. We know your sales reps get lonely, but you'll get a fright if you try to bring back a lady of the night, cause my mum will burst into your room and give you hell, cause we may be one star rated, but we don't tolerate any of that kind of thing at the clean and well presented family run Drake Hotel. If you do go to Plymouth and you need somewhere to stay, please don't stay at the Drake Hotel, because my parents had to sell it, and the bloke who bought it off them turned out to be a massive prick. So it really is an asshole. But do go and stay at a guest house called Number One. My parents run now. It's very reasonable. Very, very good reviews on TripAdvisor. One bad review, but I spoke to my mum and they were arseholes. real arseholes. This is a song about an awkward situation that we've all come across. You, Chris, definitely. An erection in the naturist camp, an erection in the naturist camp, oh oh. A teenager on the school bus, no blazer or satchel to cover it up, oh whoa. When there's naked bodies all around, it's no surprise things go up and don't come down. Now I know you're thinking this is just an excuse for some cheap knob jokes, and essentially, but at the same time, this is based on personal experience. When I was 40, my parents took me to a naturist camp, and a part of my body was curvy like a standard lamp. think that's really thoughtless. You know, I only ever go topless. Oh. So, this song is completely true. The great thing about it was we got taken to this nature's camp and went back every year, got sort of used to it, and I met lots of other young people. Won't call them children to feel wrong. And it was genuinely culturally enriching, but you know, the only problem was the erection in the naturist camp. The erection in the naturist camp. Oh, oh. Oh, oh. Well, I saw a French boy with the same problem as me, but he just got up and walked into the sea. Oh, those continentals are so cool. While we English suffer in awkward silence like fools. I've been lying on my front for 5 hours. I've got third degree burns on my arms. That has reduced one of the most significant childhood experiences I've had to some crappy jokes, but fuck it, it's quite a nice song anyway. That's the end of it.
And that's the end of this episode of Totally Acoustic as well. The next one's on Tuesday the 5th of April. We've got Keith Top of the Pops and the Understudies playing, and that's back at the Lamb as usual. All the details are on our webpage, which is www.totallyacoustic.com/. And thanks very much to Ben and for Matt for playing. That was a bloody lovely gig, that. Thanks to everyone who came, and thank you very much for listening. See you next time.